Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Normally joined by Stilly at this time, but not today, Rex Road. No Stilly today.
How come?
Don't know.
What's going on, Stilly?
Just got a text message at almost 1 in the morning last night that 7 wasn't going to work. So,
almost 1 in the morning, huh? So we already had to deal with this crap from him being on Bourbon Street. A young father. Time to be responsible in the world, young father.
Yeah. Just out to all hours of the night.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing. You know, again, yeah, every Wednesday, about 5 o'clock.
Without fail.
Take time out of my day, out of my life, to come on your show for 45 minutes is what it is, and have to hear you and Caroline talk about how NBA players don't care. They all just go out there like, whatever. I'm going to pretend I have an injury. I have to do this every week. You can't give us 15 minutes at 7 a.m. on a Friday because you are just such a man about town. You just got to go carousing around. Was the song you played earlier for Stilly, was that in Stilly's honor?
At least it's local this time.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
Keeping it around here.
Next week, he'll be in Vegas. You know, the week after that, you know, Portland, Oregon. I don't know. Pretty irresponsible, Stilly. Pretty disappointing.
At what point do you throw just a protest and you don't go on Jared versus Joe?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm telling you right now, and I'm going to say it and say it publicly to Chase, too, if you're listening, Chase. Yeah, Jared versus Joe switches to Wednesday at 8 a.m. Wait. What do we have, Kaharski?
Yeah. We'll okay. Find the time.
Wednesday at 7 a.m.
Sure. There we go.
Jared versus Joe, Wednesdays at 7 a.m. from now on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Check it out, everybody.
Yep.
That's going to be the new schedule. No longer will it be on Stillman and Company. It will now be on Robbie and Rex Show. Jared versus Joe, Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Check it out. All right. Woo! Programming announcement.
We will not keep him for 45 minutes.
No, you will. I mean, yeah, most of that is him bloviating. And I don't really blame Caroline for that. But a lot of times we only get to like 3 questions because it's like, I mean, the oxygen that he sops up like a biscuit and gravy when he's in the same room as anybody, it's incredible. Like, dude, keep your thoughts.
Sopping up going on out there.
Yeah, I hope he's sopping up something right now. Good Lord, man.
Take your thoughts.
Get your crap together, Stilly.
737-1025 is our phone number.
A 9-minute run.
Yeah. A lot of thoughts on the text line of your draft takes right now. Some people all in on Travis Hunter being number one. But I think, Joe, what continues to trickle in is what I've talked about. I think a lot of Titans fans are cool with Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, but they're really cool with Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter if you're able to trade down, pick up additional picks, and still land one of those two. Now, how realistic is that going to be by the time the draft comes around? I have no idea. I don't know. That would be great if you could find a way to do that. But we've got a lot of questions about Cam Ward on the text line, too. Like, are people going to be in love enough with a Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders to trade up where you could do that, where you could move down to a 3 or a 4, and you could still end up drafting an Abdul Carter or a Travis Hunter? I don't know. What you've done is say, hey, if this works out the way it did in your athletic mock draft and nobody's willing to move up, take Travis Hunter at number one and be happy with that decision of taking Travis Hunter at number one. That's the way you've gone here.
Exactly. Yeah, like again, I tried to trade. So, I mean, I tried to get out of there. I made it very clear to all the other fake GMs that this baby's up for grabs. Multiple times I reminded, hey, everybody. Don't forget about me. Got that number one pick. Don't hesitate. You know where to find me.
Give me your best call.
Yeah, and like I said, the Raiders dabbled with it, and You know, the Raiders, I mean, they ended up in great shape. They got their guy at 4. But, yeah, like, is it possible to trade down? Is it possible, like, the Giants are absolutely in love with Cam Ward, or, you know, whatever the scenario is, where you could trade down just a little bit, pick up another pick, and still get one of those two guys? Like, in our mock draft, after I did that, the Browns took Abdul Carter. And, you know, some people are like, well, they're not going to do that, you know. If they're not trading Myles Garrett, yeah. Again, take great players. And, look, I could be wrong on Abdul Carter. I think there's a lot of people who would advocate for him as the number one pick if you have to stick and pick and you're not doing a quarterback. I feel more certain about what Travis Hunter is. I just do. Abdul Carter, you got to remember, and this doesn't always mean a lot, but it is a limited sample size of production in college football. I mean, I watched him in the playoff, and he was unblockable. So, I mean, look, the guy is very talented. He's worthy of being talked about there. To me, it's like, is there enough there to know for sure? I have more certainty with Travis Hunter.
I got one texter that says, the Titans need to draft Jaylen Walker or Mykel Williams. They need a better D-line. But we all know the Titans won't draft anyone good, like usual. Look who was still on the wide receiver board when they drafted Treylon Burks. Multiple Ohio State, Bama wide receivers, and George Pickens. Amy Adams Strunk has ruined this organization. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. Very down on the Titans and Amy Adams Strunk.
I get the pessimism. I do. But we don't all know anything. We don't all know. What? First of all, there is a new GM, even if he's assistant to the regional manager. You know, Brinker has been here, but they've got new voices in there. They got new brains in there. They still have a lot of the same scouts, but we don't know anything. You know, the thing with Amy Adams Strunk is you just hope she stays out of it.
Right.
And you hope that she got lucky with some of the people who are now running the organization.
I got another text that says, is there any chance we draft Cam Ward and actually let him sit and develop him like McNair?
Well, I mean, we've talked about Cam Ward. He's played a lot of football. It's so hard to compare the eras. And obviously there's great sitting examples in the NFL now. So I'm not saying, like, we're pro sitting. But you think about, like, McNair coming out of Alcorn State in 1996, 97, right? I mean, the NFL then and college football then, and I don't even know what the heck Alcorn State was running, but college football in the NFL at that time, it was very different. And
95, by the way.
95. Mm. Okay, my bad. Whereas, you know, there's a lot more scheme overlap between the two. Now, there's still, like, Tennessee's offense, for example, you can't do a lot of what they do in the NFL, so there's an example of a college scheme that does not – translate. Vanderbilt scheme, that does not translate much to the NFL. But there's a lot of the same concepts that have crossed over, which really happened, almost 20 years ago, but it's been a gradual thing. So, like, a lot of these guys are more ready. Now, the ones who play in those offenses in the NFL where, you know, it's look to the sideline every time, I mean, there's a big adjustment there. But, you know, bottom line, you're never going to see, unless you have an Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and it's like, well, you know, what? He's not going to get unseated. But you're never going to see, like, the two-year plan as a plan, right? I mean, that's just not going to happen.
When's the last time a quarterback was taken number one overall and sat? I don't know the answer. Did Eli sit for a little while? I think Eli sat behind Kurt Warner for a little while.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah.
Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston. None of those guys set. Andrew Luck did not sit. Cam Newton, I don't think, set. So, like, when's the last time a number one overall pick at quarterback
set out? That's definitely more of an old school thing. And look, obviously, did Bradford play right away?
That's the one I don't remember. I don't remember if Bradford did, but let's say he didn't. That would have been 2010. Would have been the last time.
And, you know, obviously if you're the number one pick, it means you're probably going to a team that's, well, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And in all likelihood, doesn't even have a veteran who's even, like, decent, right? Now, some of those teams, you can do like the Colts did. They go get Minshew because they plan to sit Anthony Richardson, and they're like, well, Richardson's better, so play him.
Right.
Which I think was a mistake.
Well, the one thing that could be different, like the, you know, going back beyond, like, 2021 or 2020, the quarterback market in the offseason and the movement in the offseason just wasn't as prevalent. I mean, it's been a new age in the NFL in terms of quarterback movement in the offseason. So, look, I'm not saying if you take Cam Ward at number one that you just have to play him, because very rarely have teams taken a quarterback at number one and not played him. Like, you don't have to do that.
No.
But it just hasn't happened very often throughout the history of the draft when you look back at it, particularly recently. Now, again, there's more options, not great options, but more options at veteran quarterback that you could pair along with him this year than maybe we've seen in the past. So,
right,
a different situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could end up with a very different looking quarterback room and be able to have a little bit of runway. It's doubtful to me that you'd get through a whole year still, you know, but maybe depending on who the veteran is and depending on what you do to shore things up. I mean, if you can all of a sudden have a decently productive offense with the bridge QB, then you could have that time. But as soon as you start losing a couple games and are the Titans going to get out of the vortex of scoring 17 as their ceiling? I mean, you know, I guess if those things change, then you might be able to pull it off, but it's probably not going to last long.
Maybe some second half touchdowns next year.
Wow, what a thought.
That'd be amazing. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the draft to get to. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad later this hour as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. An amendment needed on my front, Joe. Case Keenum started the year for the Rams in 2016. Shout out to Manny on the text line and to Big Joe as well for pointing that out. So Case Keenum began the season as the starting quarterback for the Rams in 2016 ahead of Jared Goff.
Big Joe setting us straight. Yeah, so apparently Fisher was with them last year and told them about sitting Goff, and then Kroenke got mad, and that was one reason he got fired. So
there you go.
Well, it's been an interesting road for Jared Goff.
It has.
Might be about to go the other way.
And as you pointed out, who knew that even at that time, better things were in store for Case Keenum beyond the starting quarterback job of the Rams at that point?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. At that point, he was definitely given up on, and he had a brief, but a nice little resurgence there.
Very memorable playoff game.
Yes, it was. Sorry about that, Saints fans. Sorry for bringing that up.
Tell you what, Saints fans have had a run.
Man. Oh, God.
Was that back-to-back, or was that at least within like 2 or 3 years?
Oh, it was at least 2 out of 3 years. Yeah. That and let me just destroy your receiver in front of the ref, and we'll just hope he doesn't throw a flag somehow.
The Minneapolis Miracle and then the mugging.
New Orleans, no, you didn't.
Was that pass interference? Did they call it? No. That was good Jared Goff's line. Did they call it? I don't think so.
Is that what he said? Oh, God.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dylan to the program. Dylan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I'm absolutely enamored with the idea of having Travis Hunter as a Tennessee Titan. I'm all about that. And I wanted to ask Joe, and also you, Robbie, as well, because I think if I want him to play receiver. But if you could have it, you know, this is Sports Talk Radio. I'm going to throw a weird hypothetical out here. If you were guaranteed he's going to have the career of, like, Darrell Revis or Justin Jefferson, I mean, who would you take him at right now? And also just a little bonus here. Special teams. I think he could be a great special teams player. I'm going to be honest. I haven't followed his career Colorado very well, but I mean, if that guy can return punts too, I mean, it's a major thing. But just let me pose that question to you: Darrell Revis or Justin Jefferson? And I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate it. Well, look, if you're throwing those two, I'll take Justin Jefferson.
Me too.
Like if you
Me too.
If you tell me that Travis Hunter as a wide receiver is going to be Justin Jefferson, then I'll take him. Now, I don't – that's a pretty high bar. Justin Jefferson is an elite wide receiver. Is Travis Hunter going to be that in the NFL at wide receiver? That's going to be hard to live up to. I mean, look, being Darrell Revis on the other side of the ball is going to be hard to live up to as well. But if you're asking me high-level wide receiver, high-level cornerback, I'll take the high-level wide receiver every time.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's some people who, again, knock Hunter on not being big. He's got to bulk up a little bit. But that's also applies to the receiver position. If we're going to try to make a Justin Jefferson comparison, he's not that's not what he is physically. Right? So, I mean, look, he's not a huge guy. So, on either side of the ball, the best receivers, for the most part, in the NFL, I mean, I'd say with the exception of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's a slot guy, who's a little guy, but for the most part, they're big 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", physical guys who can win 50-50 along with great speed. He's got the speed. Yeah.
Like, to your point, Tyreek Hill. Not a big guy.
Well, Tyreek Hill,
but can run past literally everyone. So
yes, if you're him, then that's right. But so Chase, Jefferson, AJ, who are the other best receivers in the NFL right now? I mean, Kupp, not a tall guy, but a physical guy when he was a dominant player. Actually, Puka Nacua, I think, is one of the best players out there. Again, a very stout guy for a receiver. So, the physicality thing with Hunter, he's got to bulk up some, but some people have taken that as like he can't play man. I don't know, man. I disagree strongly. Now, I know some people have pointed out to us that, DVD had a – I kind of like this. I was listening to this when they were doing this, the band terms, including generational. Generational is a big term.
Yes.
It does. It means
it's an overused term.
Yeah, it is. It is overused. But that's to me is why you take him because yes, he's like. We're talking about Woodson and Deion. Okay, I mean that's what it means. Like the next generation of like the great corner, and there's other great guys out there. People have brought up Surtain, Revis is a good one to bring up. Ramsey had his run. I'm talking better than that.
Well, if that's what you think he is, then don't even entertain trading down. Just take him. Like, if you think that – if the Titans are doing their evaluation and they think that Travis Hunter is that, they think that he's Deion Sanders, they think that he's Charles Woodson, why would you even entertain the possibility of trading down? I wouldn't take the risk that anybody would take him. I would just say, yeah, guys, we appreciate your phone calls. We appreciate your trade offers. We're going to stick at number one. And we're going to take Travis Hunter. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and maybe they will. And Dustin from Hawkinsville claims that there's 3+ teams that are begging for the pick. I don't know. Are there? We'll see. Someone else brought up the point with that pick of the Titans should pretend that they love Cam Ward to help them. Let's remember, we've been talking about the Rams and that trade. I mean, let's remember, like, when that trade happened, everybody knew the Titans were – either not taking a quarterback there or they were trading out. Everybody knew that, right? Now, the difference is that people were desperate to get Jared Goff more so than anybody's desperate to get either Cam Ward or Shooter Sanders, as far as we know. But it really comes down to the other team. It really comes down to, is there a team out there who, after all this is, after all the evaluation, all the information's in, there's like, Cam, we have to have him. Or Shadur, we have to have him. And I don't know. I don't think what the Titans do is going to matter there.
Now, Andrew on the text line says, you got to take Abdul Carter, Joe, because Travis Hunter doesn't eat corned beef. Is this a real thing? Has he said that he doesn't like corned beef? Because that may change Rex Rhodes' opinion on him right now.
Wait a minute now. I have not heard this. This could be a game changer. Who's saying this? Is that
Andrew,
on the text line
on
the text line. YouTube?
Text line. It's pretty far ways back.
Okay, but. I missed that one. I okay. I need
that
to
could be a big factor for Rex Road.
Yeah, corn. I mean, look, corned beef hash. That is like if you don't eat corned beef hash, I have to question everything about you. Basically,
I had the opportunity.
Corned beef on its own, I love that too. But corned beef hash.
I had the opportunity when I was in Colorado a few months ago to eat corned beef hash and instead elected for a pancake, and I thought of you the whole time. I was like, he would be incredibly disappointed in me right now.
Why wouldn't you have both?
Well, I mean, I had the pancake, I had sausage, I had eggs, I had hash brown casserole. Like, there's a certain point where you're like, probably should stop.
Yeah, but that's not the point, man.
Probably not.
Yeah, swap it in. Good Lord. This was like at a – where was
is that
this?
Some diner in Golden, Colorado, dude. Right? It was right across the street from the Coors Light plant, which we did not go to, but it was there.
I bet you that was amazing corned beef.
Probably was.
That hurts my soul.
I'm sorry. I thought of you. I was like – I even told Heather. I was like, Rex Road, if he knew what I was doing right now, be very upset with me.
Don't ever turn down the corned beef hash.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the draft. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 7:45. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up later in the program. Tune in today to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt Baseball. As the Commodores host St. Mary's. Pregame at 1:45, first pitch at 2 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in today to 94.9 The Fan, which I've already read, so I'm not going to do that again. But there's Vanderbilt baseball taking place later today. Make sure you're tuned in for that.
You can say it again. Just like you can eat corned beef hash for every meal if you want. Gout be darned.
First pitch at 2 o'clock today for Vanderbilt baseball, in case you missed it the first time. Do have some tickets to give away. A four-pack of tickets to the Athletes Unlimited professional basketball game at Nashville Municipal Auditorium coming up this Sunday. Tip-off at 4:30. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Call the 3, we'll win a family four-pack of tickets to the Athletes Unlimited professional basketball games at the Municipal Auditorium going up this Sunday. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of different thoughts on Joe's Travis Hunter take on the draft part of this here. I think here's what I also think is going on. Let's say that by the time the draft rolls around, there's a general consensus that Travis Hunter's best position is cornerback in the NFL. I think because of the need that the Titans have at wide receiver, it's going to be really hard for a lot of Titans fans to get over, hey, his best position is not the position that you need him to be the most, right? Like, his best position is corner, if that's the way that they end up evaluating this thing. I still say, like, if you think that he's a great player, then it – I'm not going to say it doesn't matter what position he plays, because if you think he's a great punter, then it matters. You're not taking a great punter that high in the draft. But when you're talking about, like, a corner is a – it's a premium position. Like, you're talking about a position that's really important. Is it quarterback? No. Is it edge rusher? Probably not. But it's right there. Like, it's a very important position in this league. So – I understand the thought process of, well, you paid L'Jarius Sneed all this money. You traded a third-round pick to go get him. You got a Woozy coming in that, you know, he got healthy toward the end of last year. Hopefully he can be healthy this year. And you feel like if those guys are healthy that your position there is set. I get that. Number one, we talked about it earlier, I don't trust either one of those guys. And number two, like even let's say it works out great for the Titans and everybody's healthy at corner next year. Like, wouldn't it be great to have a guy like Hunter that you feel like is an answer there for the next decade that can be an elite player? Like, having a little bit of depth doesn't hurt, even though I realize there are more positions of need than cornerback right now.
Yeah, just like next year's team, if you're picking at number one, it has to be an 8-year hope, right? And that's way beyond whatever the heck they look like next year. So, and like we said, I mean, you know, these two veterans, who the heck knows?
Well, and as I've said, more than anything, what I want for the Titans, they are in shortage of a lot of things. They're in shortage of a lot of these positions. You know what they're in shortage of the most, Joe? Elite players. They need elite players. And I don't really care how they get them. Just bring in some elite players.
Yes. Now, look, this would be, and I'm trying to look up where those guys both went. If we're making the comparisons, we're gonna go that lofty with Travis Hunter. This would be the first corner taking number one. Again, that's why, to me, taking him as a receiver number one is wild. I understand the both sides thing. It does add value. It does add value to him for sure. But I still wouldn't – like that versatility to me is not enough for it to be number one. It's got to be because you are that great. at one or the other. You have to be. You have to be elite, top, absolutely top of the league at one or the other, which, again, I think is corner. But, yes, he would – so that if that's why they're taking him, he would be the first corner taken with the number one pick. I mean, unless – I don't know. You want to go back to, like, the 50s, and I found Gary Glick, Colorado A&M defensive back –
Who could forget?
To the Steelers. So that would be the closest to this. So I don't remember where Deion went. Or where I know Woodson was like right. I mean, it was like Manning Leaf, obviously, and Woodson was not far behind in that draft after beating Manning for the Heisman.
Deion was fifth overall.
Deion was fifth overall.
In 89.
So, and who went first? Oh, that would have been the Aikman draft, right? Yep. 89 was the Aikman draft of the Cowboys. So, you know, usually, you know, it's quarterbacks. You do sometimes, you know, you do from time to time see edges go. Obviously, Walker just 3 years ago. Miles Garrett in 2017. Clowney in 14. You know, Mario Williams to the Texans. The Texans love taking those edges with the number one overall pick. Courtney Brown at Penn State in 2000. You know, that happens from time to time. Corner does not. So... yeah, you're talking making history here.
Listen to the first five picks of the 1989 draft. Got Aikman at one, Hall of Famer. Tony Mandarich at two. Barry Sanders at three.
Yes.
Derek Thomas at four. And Deion Sanders at five.
That's pretty good.
That's four Hall of Famers.
Yes.
Out of five picks.
I remember as much as I loved Tony Mandarich, as one of the most dominant linemen ever, also a little bit chemically altered.
A lot of that today on the program.
There was also a lot of that going around in college football back then. Boy, that was like the old school anabolic stuff.
Oh, yeah. Whew.
But, boy, was I happy when the Packers took him and let the Lions have Barry Sanders. Oh, my goodness. What a day.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
It didn't matter.
It did not.
Because the Packers ended up getting quarterbacks, unlike the Lions.
I mean, I'd have to go through it. But that's got to be, like, of your first five picks, that's got to be, like, one of the greatest draft classes ever, right? Four Hall of Famers?
Four Hall of Famers out of
five? First five picks.
Yeah, there can't be too many top fives that had 80% Hall of Famers.
Well, that's pretty good.
This year, there's only going to be one of the five. His name's Travis Hunter.
Not only Hall of Famers, but, like, you know, Deion Sanders, one of the greatest players ever. Barry Sanders, one of the greatest players ever. Like, Derek Thomas, unbelievable. Yeah. Like, it's not just Hall of Famers. Well, it's like surefire Hall of Fame.
The two Sanderses are arguably the best players at their positions of all time.
Exactly.
That's pretty strong.
Pretty good draft.
Yep, not bad.
Pretty good draft. So, you know, it's a lofty comparison, right? Like Deion Sanders, Charles Woodson is a lofty comparison.
But that's why the word generational should not be thrown around lightly.
I agree.
That's what if that's true, it is applicable. It is used correctly in this situation.
Well, and again, if that's true, then if I'm the Titans, I no longer have any interest in trading out. Like, if you need to make sure you land one of those guys. And look, they've said that. Like, and I think, you know, it got, you know, people ran with it, like Schefter, who weren't in the room when it was said at the time. But people talk, you know, the generational stuff of, well, we're not passing on a generational player. Well, that's what you think Travis Hunter is. And everybody started thinking immediately about quarterback when he said that. But if that's what you think Hunter is, then I think it's easy at that point. Look, I say the same thing. Like, if you look at Abdul Carter and you think that he is an elite, elite pass rusher, take him. Like, I've said it a million times. You're in desperate need of elite players. And you need a lot of players, but you need elite players more than you need the quantity of players.
I agree. And, again, if it's similar levels of elite – for both of them, then I would go with Carter too. I have my doubts that it will be. Texter says, I get a good laugh out of all these player comps that start flying around during draft time. Not every top pick is going to be Hall of Fame caliber. A lot end up like Corey Davis, decent player but never reach a ceiling. Well, yeah, and some end up worse than him.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And look, I mean, it's a big statement talking about Travis Hunter like he's one of those guys, like one of the handful of players at a position that we're going to talk about when he's done. I understand that. I'm just telling you, especially, and some people have brought up, I got to bring this up to TD at the top of the hour after, you know, he's had more time to look at this stuff. There's a lot of talk about Hunter and the scheme at Colorado. They play a lot of zone. He didn't play a ton of man.
No.
He needs to be physical. Can you play press man? I understand all that, but the fact that they didn't do it does not mean he can't do it at all. And I'm going to go back with Benjamin Solak, who says, as soon as he puts on the jersey, he's one of the best man coverage corners in the NFL right now. And I believe that too. I think it's all there in what he did at Colorado. And we'll see.
But this,
I'm talking some of you into it, aren't I?
This is player comparison season, right?
Like, yeah.
I saw Booger McFarland. You know, everybody's talking about Abdul Carter and Micah Parsons. Well, Booger McFarland threw out there the other day that Jalen Walker reminds him of Micah Parsons. Like, it's just – this is what it's going to be from now until the draft. It's player comparison season.
Now, someone – I heard Mr. – oh, I need four Excedrin. Oh, my God. I need to throw up in the toilet again here before I go get breakfast. Stilly talking the other day about somebody whose comp was Harold Landry. And I figured it was one of the edges that was a little down, which, first of all, that was kind of refreshing because it's like, oh, a comp to like a regular player.
A good player. Yeah.
But also, he's like, oh, my God, never. I'm like, well, I mean, the thing is, like, there's plenty of first-round picks who will absolutely not reach that level. Harold sure. Landry's been a
Harold
good player
been a
in the
good
league.
Player.
I mean, I know everybody wants it to be that the Micah Parsons. No, I want Myles Garrett, but, like, if you get in the first round someone who is good enough to get a second deal, and what does Landry have? 60 sacks in his career?
Probably around there, yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. I mean, guys, you can do way worse than that.
Of course, now you've got, you know, I mentioned his comparison season. Like, I think Lewis Riddick hopped on First Take the other day and compared Cam Ward to Jaden Daniels. Like, the newest, you know, it's the newest example we have, and it's like, all right, okay. Here we go.
That's bad. Jaden Daniels is one of the best running quarterbacks I've seen in college football. And also,
I don't know if he compared him like 100% like player for player, but I think he was more talking about like impact that he could have right away.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, if you're talking that, that's fine. But yeah, as a player comp, I don't think that's – yeah. Okay.
But that's the
time. Yeah,
it's
always got to be that,
yeah,
right?
It's
got to be the best of the best.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You have a league that says my product's inferior. Let's pause it for 2 weeks and
I
let everybody go play in some tournament that includes
two countries that
nobody cares about.
Like, we're pausing the league for this. You're taking, again, there's a lot of the greatest players in this league are Russian, so they're just out. They're not invited. I'm really bothered, and yes, maybe this is like because I was relegated to writing like Ellie Tolvanen's going to be awesome columns from Pyeongchang 7 years ago because they wouldn't send NHL guys to the Olympics.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad.
I stand by it.
It's good stuff.
I stand by it.
Good stuff from you and PK last week.
But it turned out pretty good. Turned out pretty
good. It turned
good.
Out all right.
Pretty good.
Turned out pretty nice. Rex Road, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so I don't want to be one of those, oh, what could have been, and I got screwed, and all that stuff, but I'm going to. Man, I won Pigskin Pick'em. We go in the Super Bowl. Knicks up 89-86, okay? Super Bowl is, I need a Hail Mary. I need to have an incredible week. Eagles. Pick the Eagles. Nick picks the Chiefs. Dub for me. Okay? Make up a point. We all took the under. We all lost. And I'm sorry. I'm kind of discounting you, Robbie.
Yeah, thanks. I also participated in this competition.
You are buying the pizza for one of us. Okay. Jalen Hurts in the passing. I take the over. Nick takes the under. Easily a win for me. Oh, my goodness. Saquon Barkley, 100 or not. No for me. Nick, yes. Dub for me. Oh, my goodness. Anytime touchdown. Now, Nick has A.J. Brown as a lock. 2 points for him. But I got Hurts. 1 point for me. What does that mean? That means with five precincts reporting, and basically the game over. The final standings, Joe, 80-58, 12-22 on his locks, 92 points. Nick, 74-64, 17-6 on his locks, 91 points. I win because Patrick Mahomes is way under on the passing yards. Patrick Mahomes passing, 250.5. Under lock for me. The 2 points to win the competition, 250.5. He was under 200 when the game was over. Nick has the over on that. It's a win. It's an incredible, stirring victory for Pigskin Pick'em for me. And the Eagles have the ball. And I'm at a Super Bowl party. And I guess I'll have a 19th chicken wing. People are barely watching the game anymore. Basically waiting for the commercials now to see if there's any other good commercials. It's over. I am absolutely locked in. Eagles, just freaking get one first down. And you run out the damn clock. And I can celebrate all night. And what do? They freaking mess around. What were the Eagles plays here? You got Kenny Pickett in. Okay, fine. You're at your 46. Okay? Onside kick doesn't work. There's 2:52 left. Again, you get one first down, you are now under the 2-minute warning and it's over. Okay. Gainwell for four, fine. Timeout number three by Kansas City. Okay. Gainwell for one. Okay. You get down to, so now the clock is running. Third and five. Gainwell gets minus one. 2-minute warning. Fourth and six at the 50. Punt the freaking ball. So what do they do? A Kenny Pickett pass. I mean, if you. It doesn't matter if you pass because obviously the clock stopped.
Yeah.
But punt the ball. What are you going? What are you trying to do? Nick Sirianni, what are you trying to do? You trying to show up Andy Reid? Is this like Philly getting Andy Reid back? Is that what's going on? So what happens? There's a 1:56 left. Fine. Okay. Patrick Mahomes right now has 207 yards. Even if there's like one draw play, give me one sack. Just don't let him go all the way down the field. First play, 50-yard touchdown to Xavier freaking Worthy, 257 yards, loss for me. Heartbreaker. Absolute garbage.
It's a bad beat.
So the final standings, as we start weekend winners this week, were the actual final standings. Nick, 75-63, 17-6, 92 points. Joe, 79-59, beat him by four picks. 11-23 on the locks, 90 points. End up 2 points back. Robbie, 70-68, did end up over 500.
Yippee.
7-16 on your locks, 77 points.
Good
for
Nick.
You will buy pizza, not for me, but you will buy it for Nick, and I'm heartbroken.
Well, I think if they punted the ball, it'd just give more room for Mahomes to throw it even farther.
Well, yes, but they got him pinned, and it just, when you're at the 50, there's a different feel, right? He probably is just nibbling around the edges if he's starting at his own 20.
Maybe so.
And you know what they might even be doing? They
maybe
might just
take a knee.
Well, they not take a knee, but they might just hand it Pacheco a couple times and get out of there. But instead, you get him to the 50, all right, we'll take a shot. And, let's not cover Xavier Worthy on the next play, too. Hate the Eagles.
It's a tough break for you. That's probably –
that's
it's definitely
– That's a bad beat, man.
It's definitely the worst beat in the history of our Pigskin Pick'em competition. There's no question about that. Really a great year in Pigskin Pick'em. We did very well.
We did. We're all over 500. Collectively, that means that we
listen to this program.
Collectively, we're 34 games over 500.
Yeah.
Now, on our locks, we would not on our locks, we would be 35-41.
Not good.
So that's not good enough. The locks were problematic other than for Nick, and that's why he won ultimately.
We'll get it going later today for weekend winners, the non-football portion of the competition. Looking forward to it.
Me too.
Are you?
I'm still hurting.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Take more of your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Check out Nashville's Best Deal of the Week. It's from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals. Get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.